I'm feeling very honored and challenged to be here tonight, to be here to honor Emily Dickinson, to be here as part of this event as a whole, and I feel very challenged to be following a great woman and a great poet, Gwendolyn Brooks. I'm going to start by reading a poem of mine in the middle of which Emily Dickinson appears and in the middle of which I address her. It's not entirely of or about her. I had written a poem back in the 60s, the early 60s, addressed to her called "I Am in Danger, Sir," a quotation from a letter she had written to Thomas Higginson. He reproves her meters, and she writes to him and says, "You think my gait spasmodic. I am in danger, sir." But I'm not going to read that poem. I'm going to read the last poem that I have written for her, and I mean by that the last. That's what this poem is all about. In between, I wrote a long essay about her when all of her work finally became obtainable in its original versions. And I began to study it for the first time as a huge body of work containing many unexpected and remarkable poems which were nowhere anthologized. And which weren't even being talked about. The name of this poem of mine is The Spirit of Place, and I started writing it when, with my woman friend, lover, comrade, I moved into the valley in western Massachusetts where Emily Dickinson was born and lived all of her life. And I was occasionally asked, half jokingly, if I had moved there to be near Emily, and I acerbically answered no. This is the spirit of place. And parts of this poem are addressed to my friend, lover, and comrade, and parts of the poem are addressed to Emily Dickinson. Over the hills in Shutesbury, Leverett, driving with you in spring, rode like a stream bed unwinding downhill, fiddlehead ferns uncurling, spring peepers ringing sweet and cold. While we talk yet again of dark and light, of blackness, whiteness, numbness rammed through the heart like a stake, trying to pull apart the threads from the dried blood of the old murderous uncaring, halting on bridges in bloodlight where the freshets call out freedom to frog-thrilling swamp, skunk cabbage, trying to sense the conscience of these hills, knowing how the single-minded, pure solutions bleached and desiccated within their perfect flasks. For it was not enough to be New England, as every event since has testified. New England's a shadow country, always was. It was not enough to be for abolition, while the spirit of the masters flickered in the abolitionist's heart. It was not enough to name ourselves anew, while the spirit of the masters calls the freed woman to forget the slave. With whom do you believe your lot is cast? If there's a conscience in these hills, it hurls that question, unquenched, relentless, to our ears, wild and witch-like, ringing every swamp. The mountain laurel in bloom, constructed like needlework, tiny half-pulled stitches piercing flushed and stippled petals. Here in these woods it grows wild. Midsummer moonrise turns it opal. The night breathes with its clusters, protected species, meaning endangered. Here in these hills, this valley, we have felt a kind of freedom, planting the soil, have known hours of a calm, intense, and mutual solitude, reading and writing, trying to clarify, connect, past and present, near and far, the Alabama quilt, the Botswana basket, history, the dark crumble of last year's compost, filtering softly through your living hand. But here as well, we face instantaneous violence, ambush, male dominion on a back road, to escape in a locked car, windows shut, skimming the ditch, your split-second survival reflex, taking on the world as it is, not as we wish it, as it is, not as we work for it to be. Strangers are an endangered species. In Emily Dickinson's house in Amherst, cocktails are served. The scholars gather in celebration. Their pious or clinical legends festoon the walls like imitations of period patterns. And this is from Emily Dickinson. And as I feared, my life was made a victim. The remnants pawed, the relics, the cult assembled in the bedroom. And you, whose teeth were set on edge by churches, resist your shrine, escape, are found nowhere unless in words, your own. And this is from a letter of hers. All we are strangers, dear. The world is not acquainted with us because we are not acquainted with her. And pilgrims, do you hesitate? And soldiers oft, some of us victors, but those I do not see tonight owing to the smoke. We are hungry and thirsty sometimes. We are barefoot and cold. This place is large enough for both of us. The river fog will do for privacy. This is my third and last address to you. With the hands of a daughter, I would cover you from all intrusion, even my own, saying, rest to your ghost. With the hands of a sister, I would leave your hands open or closed as they prefer to lie, and ask no more of who or why or wherefore. With the hands of a mother, I would close the door on the rooms you've left behind and silently pick up my fallen work. The river fog will do for privacy. On the low road, a breath, here, there, a cloudiness floating on the blacktop. Sunflower heads turned black and bowed, the seas of corn a stubble, the old routes flowing north, if not to freedom. No human figure now in sight. With whom do you believe your lot is cast? Only the functional figure of the scarecrow, the cut corn, ground to shreds, heaped in a shape like an Indian burial mound, a haunted-looking, ordinary thing. The work of winter starts fermenting in my head, how with the hands of a lover or a midwife to hold back till the time is right, force nothing, be unforced. Accept no giant miracles of growth by counterfeit light. Trust roots, allow the days to shrink. Give credence to these slender means. Wait without sadness and with grave impatience. Here in the north, where winter has a meaning, where the heaped colors suddenly go ashen, where nothing is promised, learn what an underground journey has been, might have to be. Speak in a winter code. Let fog, sleet, translate, wind, carry them. Orion plunges like a drunken hunter over the Mohawk Trail, a parallelogram slashed with two cuts of steel. A night so clear that every constellation stands out from an undifferentiated cloud of stars, a kind of aura. All the figures up there look violent to me, as a pogrom on Christmas Eve in some old country. I want our own Earth, not the satellites, our world as it is, if not as it might be. Then, as it is, male dominion, gang rape, lynching, pogrom, the Mohawk wraiths, in their tracts of leafless birch, watching, will we do better? The tests I need to pass are prescribed by the spirits of place who understand travel but not amnesia. The world as it is, not as her users boast, damaged beyond reclamation by their using, ourselves as we are in these painful motions of staying cognizant, some part of us always out beyond ourselves, knowing, knowing, knowing. Are we all in training for something we don't name, to exact reparation for things done long ago to us and to those who did not survive what was done to them, whom we ought to honor with grief, with fury, with action? On a pure night, on a night when pollution seems absurdity, when the undamaged planet seems to turn like a bowl of crystal in black ether, they are the piece of us that lies out there, knowing, knowing, knowing.